بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. One youngster asked today, we have conflicting situations. Are we expected to maintain the unity in every situation? So I explained to him, by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, the Quran Sharif says, وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضُ. Muslims are friends of each other, protectors and friends. These are the two translations for awliya, friends and protectors. Now, Allah Ta'ala speaks about the Muslim friendship differently to the kafir friendship, or to those people that are not true to Islam. They may be Muslim by name, but they are not honest, they are not sincere, they are not true to Islam. So that group is called the munafiq. The one that is true to Islam, is honest to Allah Ta'ala, you will call them the mu'min. As for the one that is not true, Allah Ta'ala says, بَعْدُهُمْ مِنْ بَعْدٍ. They are one group, one from the other. This group here, that we know that are not true, that are betraying, then what's going to be their fate? And the ones that are honest and true, what is going to be their end? Because we invest in anything when we know about the long-term consequence. We know the long-term consequence, then we want to invest. And not knowing the long-term consequence, and you're just going to invest, then you may have invested too much. And the returns were not like what you had desired. We invested, say, 100 million, and you're getting, say, 10,000 rand every month. Not worth it. And after that, suddenly you hear that the whole market crashed. It's worse. So now, you want to see the returns, and then you do the investment, right? So as for the person that betrays Islam, he's not true, he's not honest, he's not sincere, then Allah Pak speaks about this friendship. Al-akhillahu yawma idhim ba'adhum li ba'adin adu. This friendship, on the day of Qiyamah, it will turn out as enmity. I will hate your guts, and you will hate my guts. Ya laytani bu'daka bayna al-mashriqin. What's the ayat? Bayni wa baynaka bu'da al-mashriqin. فبئس القرين. And you will swear each other, because the friendship wasn't right. So on the day of Qiyamah, you'll swear and say, بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَكَ بُعْدَ الْمَشْرِقِينَ. Had there been a distance of the east and the west between us. فَبِئِسَ الْقَرِينَ. What a terrible friend were you. So you see, on the day of Qiyamah, there's a friendship here, but because you had betrayed, because you were not true, because you were insincere, so this is how it's going to translate on the day of Qiyamah. You're going to be swearing the person. Even though it may be your own wife, your own child, your own near and dear one, but he betrayed. In spite of him betraying, then to you maintain that bond and the relationship. So on the day of Qiyamah, then you're going to be swearing each other. Al-Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib rahmatullah has quoted a hadith where he says, two good people, two good Muslims were friends, and two impious people, not concerned at all, they were friends. So the two good people that were honest and loyal, faithful to the faith, one person passed away. So in his grave, he's pleading to Allah Ta'ala, O Allah Ta'ala, I had a friend. He used to encourage me to do good. He used to stop me from wrong. in our terms, we'll say, encourage me to come for namaz, make gush, take me out for 3 days, see that I sit for the ta'lim. Nice way, he'll come and encourage me, he'll make me laugh, and he'll put me onto the ta'lim group. He'll take me out for 1 day, 2 days in jamaat. If I'm doing something wrong, I'm wasting my time, and he's correcting me. I'm making ghibat, I'm slandering someone, and I'm wasting my time going to sports, etc. So he will correct me for that. The wrong things, he will stop me. The right things, he will encourage me. So Allah Ta'ala, on account of his encouragement, today I am in Jannah. I'm enjoying so much and I'm enjoying. Allah Ta'ala, I ask you for one additional favor. That this friend of mine, Allah Ta'ala, keep him straight. That he may see the type of joy that I am seeing. He may enjoy what I am enjoying. He may relish what I am relishing. So Allah said, just calm yourself. If you only know what we have got in store for him, that you will cry less and you will cheer even more. Then the second person dies and he meets up with his friend. And then each one congratulates, what a beautiful companion. How good you were to me. Because of you I came, I have reached where I have reached today. Because of your goodness, because of your kindness, because of your helping hand. And then the wrong partner, the wrong friend, that also has its consequence. It also has its end, right? In this dunya, Allah Ta'ala gives you the choice. Whatever you want to choose, you can choose. Nobody forces you. Right? But then you have to face the consequence. So the one partner passes away, the one friend passes away. As he passes away, then now he says to Allah Ta'ala, I had a friend. And he used to discourage me from good, encourage me into wrong. Right? Namaz, he was not interested. Having parties after Isha namaz, he knew and I knew that we are going to definitely miss out our Fajr namaz. Or we are performing our tahajjud, we won't get our tahajjud. Or we are reciting Quran Sharif after Fajr. But because of this few scraps of meat and missing out either our Fajr namaz or the Quran Sharif recitation in the morning or missing out a rakat behind the imam, just because of a few scraps of meat. Am I so greedy that I can't resist that few scraps of meat? That namaz, that takbir ula, is it something insignificant in my sight? That I can give away my takbir ula for that few scraps. So he used to encourage me to do all the wrong things, miss out on opportunities. He wouldn't talk about you. He wouldn't talk about following Rasulullah Pak Sarasam. He would discourage me from the right. Tell me, all right, go and do insurance, go and do this type of thing, do some financing, all the wrong things he would tell me. And from the right avenues, he would discourage me. Do this, do the right things, he would discourage me from that. The wrong things, he would encourage me. Right things, he would discourage me. I was involved in an accident, he said, you're not insured. What a stupid thing you are doing. So, all the wrong brains he was giving me, all the wrong intelligence advice he was giving me. Just do that financing and you'll see after a few years you become such a prosperous person. So he was telling me to go into interest. Allah, this person here brought me to this end. I can see Jahannam, I can see the horror, I can see the terror, I can see the serpents, I can see all these things happening. So Allah Ta'ala, keep him on the wrong. Let him stick to that wrong. That he can also suffer the torment that I am going. He can also see the wrong, he can see the terrible consequence that I am seeing today. But keep him on that wrong. So the right is so beautiful and so great that the one that died, he's making dua for you. Allah Ta'ala, please Allah, keep this person. Mera dost Allah, isko tum qaim rakho. Right in the grave, he isn't forgotten you. And by the same token, the wrong also is so terrible that that person that is in the grave, he's cursing you. Fabi'is al-Kareem, what a terrible friend you are. Mirza Mazhar Jana Jana Rahmatullah Ali, Shah Waliullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, speak about him. Mirza Sahib Rahmatullah Ali is quoted, twisted, that if Allah Ta'ala asked you, one dua, and that dua is definitely going to be answered. What will you ask for? Now our minds go in different directions. Eh? All our minds go in different directions. Every year must go for Hajj. Get a Saudi passport. Just jump in. Have a private jet. Whatever I want. Just push in, come in, come out. Or someone will be even more smart. Must have a gold mine. You know? There's I'm mining $10 million every day. I'll give sadaqah, I'll build this masjid here, I'll sort this people out here. So where will our minds go? Now, Hazrat Shah Wali Ullah Sahib used to speak about him, that he is so great, Mirza Mazhar Rahmatullah Alayhi, that all the awliya of the world, I see them misle kaffe dust, like the lines on my palm. Allah Pak has shown me all of them, right? And today I can't see anybody as great as Mirza Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi. I can't see anybody as great as him. Allah Pak showed it to me. So I can't see anybody as great as him. So this question is put before him, that if Allah Ta'ala gave you one dua and the dua is confirmed, accepted, what dua are you going to make? Isn't it something that we all relish? Eh? What dua to make? So he says, I'll make the dua that Allah Ta'ala gives me a good company. Jalees as-Salih. A good company. Now, I've been thinking for some time. I heard this long time. I read it maybe about 15, 20 years ago. I read it. But I couldn't comprehend it fully. Or right? You understand and you believe this, Buzurgani, what they're saying is the right. But sometimes the levels are so high, it's beyond our perception, beyond our comprehension. They're so high. Even now, we can't understand them, right? Because the understanding and their level is so high. We're like scratching the ground. Is there something beyond pre-primary? We are there. And they are professionals, right? They've seen the ups and the downs. They are talking. So I understood what he's saying. See what he's saying. In the akhirat, if you want to be in the right company, then you throw me for everything. In this world, if you in the right company, righteous company, they'll encourage you to write, they'll forbid you from evil. So you can't go off. If the company is right, you can't go off. It's going to be difficult. Because the right company will feel an obligation to tell you that this is wrong and this is right. Otherwise, that company is not right. If they're not telling you this is right and this is wrong, then that company is not right. They see you, for example, doing wrong and haram, and they allow you to continue, then you can't call that a good company. You are doing right, they're encouraging you. You're doing wrong, they're stopping you. And if they are doing right, then you're encouraging them. And they're doing wrong, you're stopping them, right? So that's called a right company. So in this world, you will enjoy, you won't go off, right? I explained you the hadith of the qabr, right? The right company and what happens in the qabr. In this world, what happens with the right company. And in the akhirat, you are posted to a maqam, to a position that's beyond comprehension. If there was anything beyond this, then this wouldn't have been the last words of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, وَأَلْحِقْنِي بِالْرَفِيقِ الْأَعْلَى. Allah Ta'ala, join me to the right company, to the highest company. That was the last word, and then he just passed on. The last words on the lips of Yusuf Alayhi Salaam as he's passing on, تَوَفَّنِي مُسْلِمًا وَأَلْحِقْنِي بِالصَّالِحِينَ. We die in a state of total submission, and join me in the ranks of the righteous. So what a great dua. It's a very comprehensive dua, don't underestimate it. Joining up in the right company from this world, from this life. Right people, right thinking, right ways, right behavior. For everything you have to pay a price, right? I don't say it's easy. But when you are convinced about it, when you're certain about it, that this is the return you're going to get, don't you invest in it. You know, hey, this is a bargain. This is a bargain, I'm going to get something out of it. And the whole world is getting out of it. They got so many years of experience, nobody failed in this investment. When I invest in it, I must be stupid not to invest in it. The whole world invested. And over and above that, it's not just guaranteed through experience, Allah Pak is endorsing it. His Nabi Sam is endorsing it. The righteous company is going to work for you. So what a great thing, what a great favor. But then that righteous company, what does it do? وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتُ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضُ. They are friends to each other. Here, the ones that are not true to their faith, they are of each other, right? Why Allah Pak said that they are not friends to each other and protectors to each other? Why? And here the believers, the righteous, they are friends to each other. Because those that are not true to deen, then they are of each other. What it means, they are together because of some agendas. They are friends. Now, why are friends? We are in a business, right? So, we are all in that wealth, so we are in that one circle. Right? So, as long as the wealth is there, we are going together. But I ask you, if that wealth goes, then does the friendship remain? Or the strength of the friendship remains? Oh, this person here is not right. So, the friendship is only on account of that wealth. So, you can only live in Balito if you come into this category. No, then you go stay somewhere else, go stay Chaswat. So, your friendship is not true, it's not sincere. The friendship is based on some agenda, ulterior motive. What is it? It's wealth. You fit within this category if you are like this. Or you are a man of this profession, then you fit within our circle. If you're not, then you don't fit within our circle. So you must fit within this profession, you must fit within this wealth, this bracket, then you're part of us. You're not, I don't want to be associating with you. I feel ashamed to be with you. I feel embarrassed to be with you. Hazrat Shah Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali, we know him as the walking library, right? One student of his says that I saw one person coming to Darul Uloom Deoband and studying under Shah Sahib Rahmatullah, but his clothes were in a terrible state. Old, tattered and torn, right? Hair disheveled, no proper clothing. And then I peeped into his room one day, I just saw just one sheet there, and he's got a brick as his pillow. That's all he's got. Clothing, no tikana of his clothing. Hair is disheveled. He will go and fetch his meals. Deoband, you line up for your meals. Give a coupon, get your meals for supper, get your meals for lunch. What a beautiful sight. It teaches you humility. This lesson of humility is supposed to be learned. You don't only be humble when you're confronted. Rather, you go and learn humility. It's a sabak to be learned. We'll come on to humility just now. Let's finish this Shasab's story, right? So, I see this person, he's in a terrible state. And he's in Shasab's class, the highest class in Deoband. Right? And one day I whispered into his ears, don't you feel embarrassed to coming into Shasab's class, see your clothes, see your condition. Can't you just neaten up? I didn't realize that Shasab had overheard me, what I was talking about. And Shah Sahib told me, it's not the right thing what you have done. He says to him afterwards, Shah Sahib tells him afterwards, that this person here, you've embarrassed him, you've hurt his heart. Don't you realize that it's possible that he may be just one student that is listening to every word that I speak, is memorizing and recording every word that I'm speaking about. So I got shaken up, asked Shah Sahib for maaf straight away, and I pleaded to this person for maaf. Now this was lingering in my mind, that Shah Sahib said, possible that one person is such. So anyway, I was lingering in my mind, students are very curious. Until that curiosity of this is not satisfied, they will keep pursuing it. Now that is playing in my mind, one day I got a chance, I went up to him. Say, this sabak here we did about 4 months ago, and I just want an explanation. So word for word, he gave me Shah Sahib's explanation with all the punctuations, the stops, the pauses, the type of facial expression Shah Sahib made. Word for word, everything he preserved 4 months ago. This one person. What I was thinking of him and what he turned out to be. Kisi ko hikarat ki nigaah se dekhne ka haq hai kya? Have you got the right to look at anybody with contempt? What we think is contemptible, is it really contemptible in the sight of Allah Ta'ala as well? So the sabak of humility is a sabak to be practiced, to be learned, not learned, but perfected. See, the first trial that was in the heavens was a trial of humility. First trial. If you look at it, examine it properly, correctly, without blinkers, and that was the first trial. Iblis is asked, bow down. Never. I won't do it. I am superior. Hey, this man is just come around now. Allah Bak, there isn't a spot in the heavens I haven't bowed down to you. Allah Bak, you must reconsider. It was a question of humility. It was a trial of humility. That humility requires just do and die, just come. But Allah Bak says, whether it comes to your mind or not, just do it. Really, the pleasure is in just doing it. And sometimes I say, even our Akabir and our elders, they say something, just do it. You'll understand the hikmat of it, wisdom of it, 50 years later. You won't understand it straight away. And for them to explain it, it's easy, it's not difficult for them to explain it. But you don't have that capacity to appreciate the explanation completely and fully. With age, you'll understand, Acha, they told me this, now I understand what he was talking about. It takes so much of time. It's coming to my mind now, I'm sharing it with you. Although it's a little bit of a controversial subject. When you say now, our Kabir, they said something, just do it. When there was this Tabligh Jamaat, it's got a 13-member Shura, right? That's the world Shura, 13-member. So there was a lengthy answer I had to write. So in order to get that answer, I needed some information. If I'm not, I don't have that information, then I'm speculating. So I need to get that information right so that I can write the answer. So I asked that, alright, you got this 13-member Shura, then you got Mawla Saad here. Was he appointed as a member of the Shura on account of competence, on account of him being capable, or on account of some sentimental value? A very senior person, I asked about 3 senior people, so no, it was a sentimental value. So why? So no, because the Mewatis, etc. would have objected. So as a convenience, we kept him. Now, I read one article of Darul Dioban about 25 years ago. I understood it. It was a statement of our Buzurganadin. But I couldn't fully grasp it. I understood it. I accepted the whole thing. But I couldn't fully grasp it. Now, after 25 years, now I got it. And I was so overjoyed that the joy is pressing me to share it with you. The article was, the more time ever says that after studies now, I've completed my formal studies around the 1915s or so, 1915, I went back to the madrasa for some work of mine. So as I went to the madrasa, I saw a whole commotion carrying on. The commotion was about making a certain person of the town a member of the Shura. That was a commotion. Hazrat Muwat Gangoi Sahib Rahmatullah was the Sarparas. He was the head of the whole madrasa. So his decision would be counted as final. Right? Mulana had ruled that this person mustn't be allowed to become a member of the Shura. On account of that, there was a whole big commotion, like a strike in the madrasa. The madrasa is like closed, more or less. Nobody can function correctly because of this commotion that's carrying on. So Hazrat Mawlana Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah says that I came to the madrasa, I saw this, so secretly I wrote a letter to Hazrat Mawlana Gangoi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. What's the wrong if we just include this person into the Shura? Because he can't become a fitna. And why he can't become a fitna is because it's about a 20-member Shura, right? Darul Dioban has got. And he is just one person. When he's just only one person, the advantage we will gain is that this whole commotion will die. The whole thing will subside, or we've included him, so the whole thing will subside. So the madrasa can carry on as normal. Right? Number two, when I say they can't be the element of fitna, because the decision in Darul Shura is based upon the majority. So when he's going to be based on the majority, he'll be just one man. And he'll be vetoed, obviously. everybody will be speaking out against him, against his opinion, so he won't stand a chance. So there is no fitna on this side. In the meanwhile, we have resolved the whole issue. Now Mawlana's answer came to me. So Mawlana says, you see, I have accepted your suggestion, but try and understand the whole thing. The whole thing, because we are coming to an end, right? And the end must be right. That's what we want, that the end must be right. No matter what we have, difficulty we have in this world here, but the end must be right. The whole idea of a madrasa or any dini movement is the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Right? That's the whole idea. That's the objective, that Allah must be pleased at the end. No matter how you do the calculations, but what you want at the end of the whole exercise, you want Allah Ta'ala to be pleased. That's the objective. I read so many things, compromises, and you made a plan here, made some adjustment here and all that. And things went right. But at the end you realize that Allah Ta'ala was displeased. I ask you, did you gain anything? Kya fayda hua? Tumhara nuksan hua. There's no fayda on this. This is how you're lost. So now, Allah Pak wants us, and His Nabi Sam wants us, that we consult with people that are competent, honest, competent, capable. These are the people we need to be consulting with. Right? Ahlul Rai. In the hadith, Ahlul Rai. So people that are competent, people that have got an understanding, sound reasoning. Right? If we include him, then we have gone against the plan of Allah Ta'ala, against the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. On the day of Qiyamah, even if the madrasa flourished, Allah Pak will ask, but why did you break my command? I asked that when you need to consult, you consult with a person that is competent. You need to consult with a person that is capable. Why did you consult with a person that was not capable? What answer will we have? Well, no answer. I didn't ask you to compromise because of fitna or whatever. I didn't ask you all that. I ask you to uphold, to maintain, and to establish my pleasure. So what answer will we have? On the contrary, if we brought someone out of convenience, right? Just out of convenience to suppress the fitna, etc. We have brought someone. Whereas the person was incompetent, he wasn't capable. And we brought him into the shura, right? Right? No, I say he was incompetent, so we excluded him, right? And because of us excluding him, there was a commotion at the end, the madrasa had closed, for example. So he says, there isn't an iota of reason for us to be feeling grieved and to feel depressed about. Because we have honored the command of Allah Ta'ala. If we included the person, we broke the command of Allah Ta'ala. We suppressed the fitna, but we broke the command of Allah Ta'ala. And we excluded the person, we have upheld and honored the command of Allah Ta'ala. Bale madrasa band ho jaye. Even if the madrasa had to close its doors, but we have gained the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, on the day of Qiyamah, hum surkhru hokar ke pesh honge. Our face will be brightened. We will be pleased to meet him. He'll be pleased with us. Allah Ta'ala will say, with all the odds, you still held on. With all the odds, you still held on. Can you imagine how Allah Ta'ala will be pleased? Now, you see, this, I heard this story here 25 years ago. Now you see with this story here, an incompetent person is kept in just because of sentimental things. Now after so many years, do you see what's the outcome? The importance of upholding the command of Allah Ta'ala. Sometimes you cannot see it straight away, but time proves itself, alright? You put the person now, you brought him in. And you brought him, why you brought him in? Just because of convenience. Now after about 20 years, now he shows, alright, this is what happened. A problem has come up that the whole world, approximately every province, every country is torn. Someone is like this, someone is saying this, someone is saying this, someone is saying this. There isn't that consistent plan that existed because of one person. See, one person, and what a problem is created. Just one person, and what a dynamic problem is created. But I ask you, where this thing is stemming from? When an incompetent person is included. So the importance of listening to our elders, how important it is. I didn't want to discuss this, but now this is pressing. I was feeling so overjoyed when I understood this. I saw this I read this article here again and again 25 years ago, and now it happened freshly. I had to go and investigate the whole thing. Not that I wanted to, but I had to write an answer. So I had to investigate, get my facts right so that I could write an answer. But the statement now, it shows after 25 years, this is the result, this is what's going to be. So anyway, what we're talking about is tawazu. Submission and humility is something that we'll have to learn and introduce in our lives. It's not something that we are confronted then we become humble, no. We have to bring, introduce in our lives. And I say the first test that took place in the skies was the test of humility. So Allah Pak says, Iblis, so no way, it's not going to happen, I'm not going to bow down. So he just failed, Aba, wastakbar, he failed. He didn't want to humble himself. So he's doomed and doomed forever, irreversible doom. And by the same token, Adam alayhi salam made a mistake. But he bowed on straight away in submission, Rabbana, Zalamna, Anfusana, Allah Pak, I've wronged, I've missed myself. Immediately he goes into humility. See that, the one person, he goes into the path of pride, arrogance, showing his worth, and what's the end of him, right? Does anybody up to this day call his son, Shaitan, Iblis? Do you have anybody? He's so wretched, so cursed, that you won't even want to call your son Iblis and Shaitan. The curse of Allah is raining so heavily on him. And that man that humbled himself, no, whatever it is, now I'm mistaken. Whatever it is, I could give an explanation to Allah, the circumstance, and how I was overwhelmed. Allah, you need to consider, because you are Ghafoorur Rahim. You must understand, I'm human. So, Allah, you must understand, it wasn't a mistake that I did willfully. The moment Allah Ta'ala directed it to him straight away, submission, straight away, he goes into humility. Allah Ta'ala, make maaf, I messed it up. Rabbana, first words, Rabbana, Zalamna, Anfusana. It's a way, right? Rasulullah comes into the Mubarak house, right? And Rasulullah shows some expressions of disapproval. He's not liking something. Here Aisha has seen as Rasulullah after some time, he's gone out in jihad or something, he's returning, and she's making marhaba, welcome, Ya Rasulullah, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayk, Allah Ta'ala's blessings, Allah Ta'ala. And Rasulullah is showing signs of disapproval. Now, it's a lesson for us that, alright, if your elder, your senior, someone that is elder in your life, he's showing some sign of disapproval because of some action of yours, right? Then what should be your response? How do you respond? What should be your immediate reaction? The person you're getting deeny direction from, you're understanding deen from him, he knows deen more than you know, right? When you're getting some direction, he knows more than you know, he knows deen, he understands deen much better than you know, then what should your response be? Now, Aisha, the Ummul Mu'mineen, she's called the believer's mother, not for no reason. There's a reason why she's called the mother of the believers. So she taught us, she's the mother, so she must teach us. So she taught us by her behavior. She says, Astaghfirullah, atubu ilallahi wa ila rasuli. I ask forgiveness from Allah Ta'ala and then from His Rasul. First statement. She just saw the disapproval on the face of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the immediate response, humility. See, to ask for maaf straight away, you have to humble yourself. Don't you need to humble yourself? So immediately she goes into humility. I have mistaken, and I ask for forgiveness. I ask for pardon. I ask for repentance. What a beautiful sight. An elder is correcting you, and your immediate response, I have made a mistake. I have wronged. Now yet she doesn't understand what her mistake is. You understand? She hasn't yet understood the mistake. But how she starts off, I ask for forgiveness, I ask for repentance, right? But in the next sentence, Mada Aznabtu, right? I need my repentance to be full, to complete. To complete my repentance, then I need to know, please, Ya Rasul, I need to know what I must stay away from. Because up till now, I haven't discovered the wrong. Because if I haven't discovered the wrong, and I'm going to ask for forgiveness, then how do I correct myself? That means when you ask for istighfar, ask for forgiveness, then you're telling Allah Ta'ala also that I'm ashamed, I'm embarrassed, and I have resolved not to do this again. So now how can she make the resolve if she doesn't know? So she knows, she needs to know what's the wrong, so that she can make the resolve not to repeat the wrong. See, that's the beauty of Aisha, you know, perfection, completion. She was so young, but you know, mind or something else. So young, but so perfect, so accurate, you know, so direct. You know. There must be a reason why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam liked her so much. Outstanding. You know, qualities, ways, behavior, response. A little bit of humility, what a change it makes. You know. One cousin of mine, she must be about over 70 now, right? So she says, we're married now, newly married, maybe 4 months, five months, 6 months. If she's over 70 now, then I can imagine she must have been married over 50 years ago, right? Over 50 years ago she's married. So now, 5-6 months, money is tight. We just got some money, and now the whole family, we are going for a drive somewhere, right? Drive, you know, for a small holiday, one, 2 weeks, break, chill out, cool off, right? So how forward we are looking to this trip. I can imagine now, 50 years ago, and how they jubilant and excited, they prepared the car, they dressed up well, all going to move. All the preparation they made, everything is done, you know, just for them to leave the house and carry on. The husband says, all right, you know, as a protocol, we'll meet mother and then we'll leave, the husband's mother. Now they go into the house, and the mother-in-law, this cousin's mother-in-law, she says, all right, you know what, the kitchen is in a state, now go and set it up. So now I think it took her one day to set the whole thing up. Said, for that moment I felt a bit difficult. You know, what frame of mind we came in, how we prepared, you know, like you got the ticket, everything, you're about to board the plane, and you have to postpone the whole trip now because of this auntie here. So I can imagine how she felt at that time. She said, I felt a bit tight. I felt a bit miserable, I felt a little bit difficult. But then she says, eloko hatesh revanu che. I have to live the rest of my life with them, right? I'm going to pull my face, then the relationship is going to snap for the rest of the time. Now, alright, she may have cried a little bit on her own way. Then she showed a good face, she did the whole kitchen up. Although it took her 1.5 day or something, postponed the whole trip, one and a half day from that 5 days is cancelled, already knocked down, right? But I showed a good face, did the whole kitchen up, everything. See, I have such a beautiful, honorable, respectable relationship with them. The whole family respects me, they love me. Anything they want to do, they'll come and consult. But that one day, 1.5 day of sacrifice, humility, see, this lesson of humility, we feel that humility is an optional thing. It's not an optional thing. If it was the first obligation that was carried out on the heavens, do you think it's an optional thing? That is the root, that humility, just break yourself. First examination, Adam alayhi salam, he won that examination. He got through that examination, and thousands and millions of awliya-i kiram, anbiya alayhi salam, came from his progeny. He's known as the Sayyidu Ta'ibin, the head and the lead of all those that made tawbah. He's got the title. Right? And this person, he has failed the test of humility, and then he smashed down for the rest of time. Can't come back, can't reel himself, can't bring up himself. So do you think this humility is just an optional thing? No, it's not an optional thing. It's a catalyst to all good. So humble yourself. Lower yourself. Humble yourself. It's a time for you to humble yourself. It's a time for you to submit yourself. You submit yourself, you humble yourself. How much doesn't it please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Hazrat Rahmatullah gave the story, you know. He says, husband and the wife, newly married, and sitting at the dinner table, right? Maybe between Maghrib and Isha, and they're sitting on the table enjoying. One is putting the luqma in other one's mouth, the other enjoying themselves. Just then, they listen to a knock on the door. So the wife gets up, a little bit of excitement, what's happened now? At this time of the night, now someone has come knocking at the door. So there must be a state of desperation for them to come and knock at the door. So anyway, she helps the person that comes there, she's a beggar, helps him, but she's distraught, and she can't hold her tears, just crying and crying and crying. Now it's the husband, newly in the marriage, so he's saying, did he shout you, did he hurt you, did he abuse you? Tell me what is it, I'm going to fix him up, you know. You know, especially when you're new in the marriage, you want to show your jaat a little bit, you know. Show brief, hey, I can do this, hey, I'll smash him down, I'll do this. Everybody that's new in the marriage wants to do it. Like you ask most of the Hafiz boys, you know, when they just married now, especially if they got a good voice, they make it a point of doing the door with the wives, with all the Kadibasid styles, eh? Just to impress on her. I can read like this. One friend is telling me that I did something like that. I even read to my wife, you know, something, some nazam or whatever. So she says, hey, I must take a breath of relief. The wife is telling him. So he got excited. The first statement that the wife made, hey, I must take a breath of relief, you know. So because, you know, your voice is such that on the day of Qiyamah, if we are gone to Jannat, if the hoods also hear your voice, they'll run away. So I'm so relieved at this. So we want to show that, at that time, you know, we want to show it. But it's not an occasion to be proud. It's an occasion to be humble. The sabak of humility, please brothers, learn the sabak. That was the first lesson that was taught in every khanqa. Apne aap ko hej dar hej samjho. Fanaiyat. Just annihilate yourself. You'll see the whole world will open up to you. But learn this lesson. Perfect the lesson. Not only learn, but perfect the lesson. Come back to the story of Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullahi. We're talking of marriage now, you know, so my mind is just going on a marriage story. So he's just married, and he is the head of Darul Deoband. At that time it was undivided India. So all the students are coming here. The greatest Darul in the whole India, in fact the whole world, any fatwa, etc., coming from Darul Deoband. So he is heading such an institute. And he was about the most successful principal, ran the place for over 50 years, with the greatest amount of success. From the time of Shah Sahib Rahmatullahi right to the end of 1982 when he passed away. So now he's just married, wife is there in the house, and mother is still living, father is late. Right? So he's supporting the mother, he's taking care under his roof. The mother is there in the house, right? For some small thing, misunderstanding, mother came up and gave one tight slap. You know, one cannon she gave, one tamacha she gave. Old house echoed. Now, the interesting thing is to see what was the immediate response. Baad mein to sabar ho hi jayega. Afterwards, you'll make sabar, make maaf, each day, Juma, make maaf and all that. You know, mother, I can't do this, you my jannat and all that. Afterwards, you'll think about. But the actual thing to see is what was the immediate response. How do you act? How do you behave at that time? Because it's your bride. And she is a woman, one of a type and one of a kind. I got her into the house in front of my wife and I'm being embarrassed and humiliated like this, you know. Now what is the response of our Qari Tayyib Sahib? See, Allah posed someone. There is a reason why He posed you. He doesn't just post you like that. When He elevates you, exalts you, then there's a reason for Him exalting you. And when you see all these cases, mostly it is about humility. How much you can humble yourself. Think nothing of yourself. In proportion to how much you humble, Allah exalts you. King is on the throes of death as he's about dying. So the ministers, advisors, people that are next to him now, they are worried now, you know, you are about dying and then you haven't appointed a successor to the throne, such a big kingdom now, millions of people, and you haven't appointed a successor. What are you going to do after you die? So he says, after I died, you have buried me, did all the janaz, everything, you buried me. King must have also been an Allah wala. So he says, the first person that passes through the palace gates, you know, you appoint him as the king. First person that comes, after all that, he is the first person. Being an Allah wala, they are convinced that what he says is right. So they did all the funeral, everything, the burial, everything, and as they're coming across, the first person that is coming that way is a person with Haitian cloth. You know, sackcloth, very coarse cloth. In a bad state, got a big bundle of hay on his head. So they called him, somehow they washed him, put him into the royal bath, royal garb, all that, and they put him onto the throne. Right? So the kings normally, what they have, what the normal procedure is, they have a sitting with the people, right? All important, mashwara, whatever, they have a small session, parliament, right? It's the first day that he's thrown into the parliament, he's the head of the whole thing, right? Now at the end of that session, as they're ending the session, so he supports himself with two of the ministers, puts his hand on their shoulders and gets up. So the minister that is closest to him, he takes the initiative to ask. Because in a king, in the presence of the king, you can't just speak out of turn. A lot of protocol, a lot of respect. The king has got so much of power, he can just behead. He doesn't need to consult anybody. So much of power. So the minister, with a lot of initiative, a lot of courageousness, boldness, he says, Jaan Bakhshi Jai. First, I beg your pardon, can I ask a question, please? See, how much of respect? It's a protocol, now you have to follow the protocol. So, by all means, yes, you can. So he says, you know, up till yesterday, you could manage carrying a big, big bale of hay on your head. Today, you can't carry yourself. You need two people's support to get up. Now, that's a royal protocol. When the king gets up, he needs to support himself. Now, this person came in. Allah Ta'ala, jab kisi ko, Khuda jab kisi ko husn deta hai, to nazakat aayi jati hai. When Allah blesses someone with some perfection, then he'll know the procedures afterwards. He'll just learn it. He'll get it right. Because it was a blessing, Allah's blessing. Allah gave it to him. Now, the rest of it, Allah will do. Allah will help him. Provided you didn't ask for it. You ask for it, then it becomes a fitna. The whole ummah is divided. You ask for it. But it came from Allah Ta'ala. He'll put wrongs right. So the king says to him, see, up till yesterday, I had only my own weight to manage. My own load to manage. My own responsibilities to manage. Now I've got the responsibilities of the entire kingdom to manage. How can I manage this without your support? So he's respected the advisors and the ministers, and he showed his position as well. He shows his authority, but he recognizes them as well. So we're talking of Qari Tayyib Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, and what's going to be his immediate response, you know, first encounter, and what's going to be the immediate response. I said, Baad mein to sabar aayi jayega. Sabar will come afterwards. You think of Jummah and Friday, whatever, big maaf. Otherwise, you know, you won't get your du'as accepted, whatever. So you'll do it eventually. But what's the immediate response? What is going to be? So Qari Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, very humbly, he bowed himself. He took his mother's hand and he kissed it. And he says to his mother, that I'm so happy today. That the affection and the love that you showed me as an infant hasn't decreased. You show me the same attention, same affection, same compassion. So when Allah Pak wants to exalt him to that stage, where thousands of ulama are going to be coming under his hand, then he will learn that level of humility as well. See, that level of humility. That not an iota, he didn't even show a facial disapproval for what his mother had done. The embarrassment, he would have said a lot of things at that time. So you're saying under my shelter, I am supporting you. And this is the response. You're so ungrateful. You don't understand. He could have said, whatever he would have said was right. Would have been right. But no. The lesson of humility was deeply planted into this man. Allah Ta'ala filled the graves with noor. What else can we say? Huh? We see them. They are millions of miles away. So far, Allah Pak has posted them, elevated them. It's our blessing. We respect them, make dua for them. is these people's sacrifices, the great qurbani that they've given, that we got a little bit of izzat. Otherwise, you know, where would we have, what would we have been? A little bit of what we have got, it's their blessings. Anyway, we're talking of the story Hazrat Ji rahmatullah had given, you know. Talking of the story of humility, the first lesson, the greatest lesson. The first lesson and the greatest lesson. Sayyid Sulaiman Nadwi rahmatullah alayhi, right? He was a very famous orator. So, you know, you got Salman. Salman's father is Sayyid Sulaiman. Very great orator. His books were accepted and acknowledged in the Arabs and the non-Arabs. Everybody accepted him. So well, presentation, books, everything was level of excellence. And somehow, he heard about Hazrat Muhammad Thanvi Sahib rahmatullah alayhi. So now I must go and pay him a visit. So he comes just to pay a visit now as a normal visitor. And Hazrat Muhammad Thanvi Sahib rahmatullah alayhi understands he's a personality. Apart from everything else, he's a Sayyid from the progeny of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he needs to show regards and respect. So Muhammad comes up to the railway station at the platform to leave him. To show his respect as well. So Sayyid Sulaiman rahmatullah alayhi, such a famous orator, so great, so much of respect. Muhammad is at that time, he's not so well known as he's known. This person is so well known, even Mullah is not so well known as Sayyid Sulaiman is well known, right? So Sayyid Sulaiman sahab is impressed about Muhammad Thanvi sahab rahmatullah alayhi. And then he asked Mullah one parting advice. Just something parting, you know. So Mullah says, tum itne bare allama ho, puri dunya tu tere naam ko gaati hai, aur tum mere jaise behaqeeqat behisiyat se poochte ho. What a great person, the whole world acknowledges you, they talk about you. And me, I'm such an insignificant person, you're asking me, zarur, you know, definitely I need some advice from you. So he put his head down, and then he says, humne Hadi sahab se bas ek hi sabak seekha. We stayed by Hadi sahab rahmatullah alayhi, but we learned just one lesson. And the lesson that we learned by Hadi sahab rahmatullah alayhi was, now imagine now, the Mujaddid, the Mu'tahana is the Mujaddid of a time, a person that wrote 1,000 kitabs. His books, I think, is every library of the world, right? Every madrasa, his books were being taught. So what a great, like a genius he must have been, for his books to be so well accepted and received, right? So the answer that comes from his tongue, he says, humne Hadi sahab se bas ek hi sabak seekha. We've learned just one lesson. Apne ko jahan tak ho sake, fana karo. As far as you can, how much you can, just humble yourself. I'm nothing. I'm giving it an easy way for you to understand. Just humble yourself. I'm nothing. I'm dust returning to dust, right? We're made of dust. We sustain from dust. We live in dust. And we return in dust. Our whole lives, we eat dust. We eat the earth our whole lives. And in a single morsel, the earth eats us. So the lesson we learn from that is we must become Kabar friendly, right? Isn't it? We must become Durban friendly, South African friendly, proud South African. But become proud grave, Kabar grave, Kabar friendly, right? So before you come to the Kabar is already friendly with you. When the Kabar is friendly with you, then as you ushered into the grave is expanding and the grave is receiving you, it's welcoming you, giving you such a warm welcome and a reception of all people that walked upon me, you were the best person, liked you most. What a warm reception. So that is when you become Kabar friendly. And you become Kabar friendly when you realize that I am earth, made of earth, eating of the earth, and the earth will take me in just one morsel and I'm gone. All whatever I've eaten, earned, ran here, there, everything, but in one single morsel, it's taken. Isn't it a lesson? So these people are having meals, the woman comes back, wife comes back, distraught, crying, and she can't hold back her tears. So So the husband wants to show his jat, like you see, show himself. She says, no, nothing like that. He didn't do anything. So he already rolled up his sleeves, wants to do something. He didn't do anything. Just hold your horse. He didn't do anything. It's no fault of his. Then why are you crying? Why are you so distraught? Why are you agonizing like this? She says, that person that knocked at the door was my ex-husband. He came begging in sackcloth, in a very tattered and torn state, patches in his clothes, disheveled hair, begging for a few slices of bread. That was my ex-husband. And what had happened, what had transpired, is like I'm married with you now, I was married with him some years ago. When I was married with him some years ago, then we were both seated for meals and we heard a knock on the door. Right? When we heard the knock on the door, then that ex-husband of mine, right, that what is a beggar now, right, that ex-husband, he was very, very rude, impolite and aggressive. She told him a lot of words, pushed him away. Is this the time? Is this the time to come and intrude and to interrupt? Don't you know that this is not the right time? For no other business in the world, can't you go and earn? So it was very, very, very abrupt, very rude. Beggars will come. Hadith Abraham, they should say, if I don't treat these people that I need, don't ever treat them as a burden. Really, they are a relief for you. They are relieving you of your burdens. They are taking and posting all your rewards for you in the hereafter. Really, they are a relief. So they'll come at the very odd time for assistance, for help, for whatever they'll come. But really, consider their step into your house, into yourself as a relief, as a blessing. They came. They were distraught. There are no other place to turn to. They came to you. When there are no other place to turn to, and then you become impolite, aggressive, rude towards them, impolite towards them. So that husband of mine was rude. He was aggressive. He pushed the person out. No other business in the world. Can't you earn an honest living? You have to do all these type of things. He had to say to the person this. Man went away embarrassed, etc., etc. He says, "Pir uska din pir girta chala gaya." Then this husband of mine, his businesses, everything just began to fail. No. One verse of the Quran that I was reading this morning, the tafsir. مَثَلُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا كَمَاءٍ أَنْزَلْنَاهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ فَاخْتَلَتَ بِهِ نَبَاتُ الْأَرْضِ مِمَّا يَأْكُلُ النَّاسُ وَالْأَنْعَامُ. The simile of the life of this world, right? It's like the water that we send down from the heavens, and it mixes up with the earth, producing lush green vegetation, etc. Food for man and animals. حَتَّى إِذَا أَخَذَتِ الْأَرْضُ زُخْرُفَهَا. Until when that has happened, right, the earth becomes lush and green, as though the earth has taken its ornament and decked with beauty, right? In season, everything is beautiful, flowering, everything, colors, green. أَتَاهَا أَمْرُنَا لَيْلًا أَوْ نَهَارًا فَجَعَلْنَاهَا حَسِيدًا كَأَنْ لَمْ تَغْنَ بِالْأَمْسِ. It's a very great ayat. I pondered about it. The more I'm thinking about it, I can't just comprehend the meaning. So great, so dynamic. Allah Pak says, "Ataha amruna laylan aw naharan." When you are that state, right? Wazanna ahluha annahum qadiruna alayha. At that state, when you are at the height of your glory, wealth, your learning, education, power, strength, might, right? That's the glory, right? The glory of this world: strength, might, power, wealth, clout, influence. That's the glory that you have got. At that time, what you think? أَنَّهُمْ قَادِرُونَ عَلَيْهِ. I have got control over the situation. I have got control. That's what you want. At the end, what do you want? You want control. But the verse after that, that's very important. أَتَاهَا أَمْرُنَا لَيْلًا أَوْ نَهَارًا فَجَعَلْنَاهَا حَسِيدًا كَأَنْ لَمْ تَغْنَ بِالْأَمْسِ. Our command comes. At any time it can come. Night, day, any time. Man, that was so haughty, proud, great, powerful, clout, influence, affluence, everything to his disposal. Then suddenly our command issues. When that command of ours issues, then that all that glory of his is wiped out, as though he did not flourish the last day. Next, the 3 days, there was nothing. In a flash of a second, Allah Ta'ala can take away your life. Right? Can't he do it? In a flash of a second, he can take away your wealth. In a flash of a second, he can take away your health. In a flash of a second, he can take away the health of those people that are closest to you. When you are in your glory, you in your power, you're enjoying, people around you, everybody's enjoying. In that 1 second, everybody's glory is gone. Because of one friend, one immediate family of yours is gone. Health is gone, wealth is gone, something has gone wrong. And that happiness, everything. Now you have to show that you're happy. You have to pretend now that I'm enjoying myself. But inwardly you are burning. See that Ataha Amruna Laylan aw Naharan, command of Allah Ta'ala issues at any time it can come. I see it's such a powerful ayat, whether it is the worst gunegar or the most pious person, it will shake that person. And you've got that piety, and because of that piety or that learning, people are respecting you, right? Allah can take it away in a second. 1 second he can take it away. Ataha Amruna Laylan aw Naharan, فَجَعَلْنَاهَا حَسِيدًا كَأَلَّمْ تَغْنَ بِالْأَمْسِ. Allah Ta'ala has taken it away. Moan. It's wiped out as though it did not exist the previous day. It's gone, completely out. Where the man is and what happens to him is reduced from everything to nothing. Isn't it a powerful ayat? A little bit of tafakkur. كَذَلِكَ نُفَسِّلُ الْآيَاتِ لِقَوْمِ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. The whole idea is for you to reflect. More than the ibadat is your reflection. How much you reflect, understand realities, it will bring you to right ends, right? Anyway, this person, uski halat to girti chali gayi. Everything just began to fail in his life. Collapse. One thing after the other, second, the third thing, fourth thing. Eventually it came to a point, the wife is saying, came to a point where he had to divorce me as well, because he couldn't sustain a marital life. Everything was gone. She's used to comfort, etc. I couldn't make it available, and eventually he had to part away from me as well. So the husband turns around. Hazrat Jiham has explained his story to us. So the man, the present husband, he says, and you know who I am? I was that beggar that came begging to your house. I was thrown out. I cried the entire night. In a state of desperation, I came for help. Man threw me out, impolite, aggressive, rude. I cried that night, Allah Akbar. I got no other door. Allah Akbar, you make something for me. And then after that night of crying, everything just began to work. I'm going, escalating, just moving up. And then I could afford to marry a woman like yourself. See, Allah Ta'ala ka hath mein. Sometimes we forget this control is not in our hands. This control, the final decision, control is in His hand. So the right thing for us to do is just humble yourself. Understand that there is a control above you. If you are powerful, then there is some other one, some other being that is even more powerful that is in full control of you. As Mufti Sahib Rahmatullah explained once, since we are talking of the topic of humility, and this humility has to be learned, has to be practiced. And that actual humility comes in the first encounter. You just encounter how you behave at that time. Afterwards you will become humble. But the first encounter, how do you conduct yourself? See how Aisha, how she taught us, right? Atubu ilallahi wa ila rasuli. I ask forgiveness. She's bowing down. I ask forgiveness from you, from Allah Ta'ala, and from you after that. And you know, as a completion of my repentance, please do tell me, how must I correct myself? See that. We were sitting seated by Mustafa Rahmatullahi, and one small girl, maybe about 8-9 years of age, she came in and she came and told Mustafa Rahmatullahi that my father has died and I need some assistance. Alright. For that time, I told him 1970s, right? So 50 rupees was a lot of money, right? So she could have done all the procedures could have been completed, Indian standards. So put out a 50 rupee note and gave it to her. She went away. As she went away, so we told Mustafa Rahmatullahi, but ye to baat, usne baat banayi. She actually deceived you. She made up a story, yeah? She made up a story. Mustafa's answer was, main itna bola nahi. I'm not such a simpleton. I'm not so gullible that I didn't know that she made up a story. Then why did you pull out a 50 rupee and gave it to her? Now look at, see how these people's minds work. They are a level beyond us, far, far. So he says, immediately I thought about this, and I thought about the grace of Allah Ta'ala. The grace of Allah Ta'ala, the sattari of Allah Ta'ala, how he protected me. I thought about that. That Allah Ta'ala, on account of poverty today, constrains this woman, this girl that came, she was forced to speak a lie to pull out that 50 rupee note from my pocket. Allah Ta'ala, it could be possible that I could have been in this position. He is the head of Mufti of the whole India, Pakistan at that time. The whole world is taking him as a Mufti. Such a position, and the immediate encounter is, he says, when he reads the situation, Allah Pak, I could have been in her position. And I could have been, because of excruciating circumstances, I could have made a lie just to pull out some note from you. I could have done this. Allah Pak protected me. Allah Pak saved my izzat, that I am not in this circumstance. So as a token of appreciation and respect to Allah Ta'ala, I pulled this out. I shivered actually. And I pulled out this 50 rupees and gave it to her. See the lesson of humility. Allah Pak, teach us that lesson.